Metabolab, your biohack, a podcast where metabolic, cellular health is the priority.
Mindset, sleep cycle, nutrition, fitness, mitochondria, anti-aging, hormone disruptors, oxidative stress, fasting, ketosis, genomic-based precision medicine.
Biohacking is not simply a trend, it's the way to a longer, more abundant life. It is not just the future of health science, it is the future of medicine.
Welcome to the podcast, Metabolab, your biohack, with your host, Dr. Heather Bartlett, a healthcare innovator, disruptor, physician, and entrepreneur with a laser focus on using science to our cellular advantage. And without further delay, here's your host, Dr. Bartlett.
Oh, what a shock. And we're back, Berg. So fast, so soon.
My gosh.
Well, welcome back to Metabolab. I'm Dr. Heather Bartlett, and with my co-host,
Burgundy Michelli.
Awesome. From Montana, and I'm in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
So what we thought we would kick off this podcast series talking about basically life efficiency, kind of lifestyle efficiency, and what does that mean to us and why does that impact our health? And to me, I will say personally, when I started to make a decision to become more healthy myself, this has been a journey for myself as well. So I'm not going to pretend that I'm one of those people that has always had it right or otherwise. Not true. but it took a series of realizing where there was friction in my life to make health change. And I think that as a doctor, this is not an approach that is commonly, it's definitely not taught. And I actually wish I had taken this approach more often than I have in the past. So what I mean by that simply is, let's say there's, if you can think of one thing that prevents you from doing, even if it's not health related, like what's one thing that drives you nuts? For example, like doing laundry. And it's like, I hate doing laundry. And then you like, you think about it and you like ruminate on it. And then you're like, I don't want to do it. There's something that popped into your mind about what it is about laundry that you hate, whether it's like lugging your laundry upstairs or downstairs, or you hate folding it. Well, why do you hate folding it? Because you don't have enough space to lay stuff out. So you always feel like you're like compact or whatever. Anyways, everybody's got something that is a friction that stops you from doing the next thing. And so this is what I thought Berg and I could talk about today and like things that we've noticed about ourselves. How do you feel about that idea, Berg?
I love it. That's great. Okay. That's been a big thing in my life for a long time. I have lots of things going around in my head on that topic.
Okay, well, let's start. Give me just one to start off with, and then I bet we can keep on going easily. But like, what do you think?
Do you want it to be in the healthcare space, the health related space?
Yeah, let's. I mean, we might as well go there. But or if you can think of one other non health space one that's like, I did this one thing, and it totally impacted my life daily, and I had no idea it was such a cluster.
For the longest time, this is going to sound really ridiculous, but I have never been able to figure out how the things I needed for cleaning the house. This sounds really ridiculous because I'm a 46-year-old woman. I've owned my own home. But for the longest time, like, so you and I have a mutual acquaintance who used to clean houses. And so I asked her for some advice. Like, what do I put in my cleaning bucket? She's like, I don't know. Like, she didn't even understand my plight. Like, this is not hard for most people.
Right.
But I don't know. So I just like kludged together stuff and I was never content. And to be very honest, so after I moved out of Columbus, moved out of my house and moved here to Missoula. And so since I've started dating Clint, I live in his house. Like he's so efficient. Like he's the guy. So this whole topic, he's the guy who's like, how do we get something that is stupid out of the way? And mm-hmm. he is one of the most efficient people I know. He's always looking for what's a better way of doing something. So like, oh my gosh, there's a like his little scrubbies for the dishes, these little circular scrubbies, and they're washable. Okay, great. And they're like the perfect handheld size. And then he's also got this little hook on the inside underneath the sink for like this little piece of chainmail that he uses for scrubbing the pots and stuff. So he's got all of this reusable stuff that's not like made out of sticks. Cause that's the kind of thing right. that I'm like, if it's going to be like recyclable or reusable, it's got to be made out of sticks or I don't know, kittens. And then like there's he has a whole bucket of like just old rags cleaning things. And like, it's just, and everything is where it makes sense to be. And I don't know why, right. like none of that made sense. And so now like I clean more, I clean better, clean. It's, this is ridiculous. But like, that was my biggest thing other than my boyfriend at the time who wouldn't clean up after himself. But yeah, so that was like my biggest thing in life had been, how do I do cleaning things? And now I'm with a man who does that.
So I'm going to ask you a question, which is, so why did that matter to you that you, did you want to have a clean space? Do you operate yes. better in a clean space? Okay. So this is like something that you would look around and it actually created conflict in you.
Yes. Because like, so, you know, having the concept of having like, an extra bin for used rags. And once that's full, you put that in the wash and the dryer. And that thing is next to the washer and the dryer. There's a vacuum downstairs. There's a vacuum up here. So I'm not ever lugging a freaking vacuum cleaner up and down the stairs.
Greasing the wheels. Greasing the yes. wheels, removing the points of friction. This yes. is exactly what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
But not just that, it improved your quality of life. And that's what this is about. So like when we start doing these little things, we start improving our quality of life. But we have to identify them. And so where this comes into the whole health space thing for me is there are these blocks that people say, I don't like cooking. I don't like cooking at home. And it's hard because people can't usually elucidate what does that mean to them, or they don't want to because it's just so traumatic. And I'm not making light of that. Like for some people, it really is. It just terrifies them, whether it's boredom or cleaning or otherwise. And so it's like these little series of life hacks. So like I remember probably 3.5-4 years ago at our old home, which was more challenging in figuring out how to use useful space around the stove is a short version. And there were at least 3 times that I told my wife, that's it. We're going to pull everything out of the cabinets and we're going to move stuff where we use it. Why are we going like, we make our coffee, where the coffee pot was and where we had a few outlets, it was right next to the refrigerator. Why were we walking to the other side of the kitchen where we were keeping our coffee beans? Right. And also because you like pour your cup of coffee and it's rare that there's a spillage incident, being honest with you, pretty good about that. But and then we open up the fridge and we get our heavy whipping cream out right next to it. So why don't we put the whole thing right there? Because the only time that anything needs to go to the sink or the dishwasher is when we are done with coffee. And that's a one time day thing and then back. But, you know, so it's like these little points of friction. For Chris, it was my wife, her thanks, Chris, for letting me talk about you. it was spices. We didn't have a good utilization and organization of spices. And so going and rooting around and looking past things and all these things, it was just like an energy suck for her. And also she's shorter than me. So it was difficult. So once, and then not only that, the spices weren't in a useful place, but like sometimes you think of your kitchen space as you only use it for what quote can go in this space three-dimensionally, like Tetris. Like I'm going to use it because this is what will fit in that space. But then it's like when you take everything out of the kitchen, like you just get everything out on the countertops and you look and you see what you have. And then you also start realizing there's a bunch of stuff I don't need. Like, why am I devoting that space to this thing that I'm not using? And if I need it again, I can either get it at the thrift shop or Aldi or Costco, or depending on people's abilities, cash-wise, Williams and Sonoma, whatever. But like it frees your mind and how you can do things. But it's like, I feel like these are the friction points. Or another thing, like I don't like cooking because every time I cook something, I burn something. Well, do you burn it because you don't follow the instructions? No, I follow the instructions. Well, what's the problem? Sounds like you got some bad pots and pans, right? So it's like, well, don't blame yourself. Don't make it about you. You know, it's, hopefully we'll talk about this more, but I'm going to linger this in and out of our conversations because I think it's a powerful thing. But there was a book written by Maxwell Maltz, who was a plastic surgeon, who talked about the power of mindset. and it's called Psycho-Cybernetics. So we'll talk about this more later, but I will just say, like, it is one of those things that start, not instead of using the words, I am a bad cook or I can't cook, it was, that was a bad meal. Those pans are not good, thereby I did not make something great. But it's part of, you know, it's like a whole nother thing when we're going to be talking about mindset in the future too. But like all of these things, if you don't know what's happening and identifying them and snowballing them, you don't realize that these are huge stoppages for people. And as a physician, what I was not doing as a service for anybody, and honestly, I'm not sure that people really were of the mindset. I was already giving them so much contrarian information that I doubt that I could go in and be like, let's talk about your household. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we talked about, but like also I'm not sure I had that direct bandwidth. But at least with this podcast, we can start getting people to start realizing and acknowledging what are the stoppages, right? What do you think, Bert?
What can you add to that? I agree. Yeah. The other thing that just came to my mind. So like right now, one of my biggest things, and this does directly relate to like to healthcare in that it relates to my workouts, is my closet right now. I have clothes that I no longer need. So I have to sift through shit to get to the clothes that I wear just on regular basis. But also then I've got to figure out, well, where are my, so I do several different types of workouts. Like Clint and I go to ballet. So I need to make sure I got the proper stuff for ballet. Our ballet shoes are actually in his car because he drives us there. So that is solved. But like, but I need to get rid of the clothes that I no longer wear. Like, because here's the thing. These are clothes that I didn't wear when I lived in Columbus. And I brought them to Missoula and I don't wear them now. So it's literally been over 3 years for some of these clothes that I've never put on my body. Or I put them on my body and I look at myself and I feel like shit. I'm like, this these do not flatter me. It's the total Marie Kondo thing. Like,
yeah.
I bought it because I thought it was cute. And maybe my body was different. Probably 100% my body was different 3 years ago. My body was different last year. And so I need to just be honest and say, look, like I need to buy clothes that make me feel good because they make me look good. I don't know how much I weigh and I don't care. I base everything on how I feel in my body and in my clothes. And so I need to, and I keep saying this and I just need to do it. I need to dig through my closet, just dump all of it onto the floor. Socks.
Oh, this is very
underwear.
Exciting. Maybe this is what we'll do. We will hold you accountable to this for our next podcast. We'll ask you how that went.
Please do. I will do it this weekend because this is maddening. My number one thing is my underwear because I got some saggy drawers. I got some elastic that's all nasty. And then I've got ones that are not big enough because my glutes got bigger. And so now when I wear these underpants, I feel like a roast beef. I'm quoting Liz Lemon on that, but like there's just thing. And then if my underwear like cut into my butt wrong, then when I wear my yoga pants or whatever, then my butt's all lumpy and then I'm not going to wear it. And then I'm not going to go to do my yoga stuff. And then I'm not going to.
Yeah. It's not
so
worth it.
Literally
it's a point of friction.
Yeah,
so but not just
my
that.
Thing right now.
You open
that.
Your drawer and what are you? You're frustrated.
Yes.
I mean,
and then I'm like, fuck it, I'm not going to go.
Right. I think the core feeling for a lot of this stuff is frustration, but not being able to name it. I mean, and I do, like you said, I appreciate Marie Kondo. I guess it's one of those strange things that I'm trying to pull all of these things from all the books I've read about mindset in the last year and a half, 2 years, thinking about organization, thinking about books I've read or listened to about business and how to make businesses more efficient. And it's like, you realize that all of these things actually collide really around your health. They collide in all these other atmospheres, but we also don't apply it to health and appreciate the friction points. So I really want to give people as we, you know, as we're exploring this stuff in the podcast, but like how to grease the wheels, how to make your life easier and or help at least get you starting to think that way so that you can do these some actionable steps, you know, like, I mean, honestly, the underwear drawer is a perfect example. I mean, even let's just say, even if you loved all that underwear, and they each served its own purpose, just not in co-activities, let's just put it that way, then, you know, put them back in a little full, a little miniature space thing. So, you know, like, oh, those are my ballet undies. These are my mountain climbing undies. These are my yogi undies, you know, but like, but even then that makes it easier, because otherwise it's, nobody's got time to sort through. Nobody's got time to sort through anything these days. And it's just one more layer of decision fatigue. And if you've got a business or you got partners, or you got jobs, like, there's a lot to manage, period.
Yep.
So, which is the classic example of why people can't take care of themselves. They can't have an interest or have the energy towards their own health, because then they feel selfish because they got all these other things to do. Loud and clear. Everybody understands that in this, in this podcast, we get that. So it's not one of those things of like shaming. It's not about feeling guilty. It's grease the wheels. How can we help you grease the wheels? And start looking around your day, honestly, like your house. What drives you nuts? Is it the way the shoes are stacking up outside the door? It always drives you nuts. You look at it and it literally, you get this like negative neurofeedback impulse. It just makes the rest of your day. Yeah, your central nervous system revs up, your vagal nerve, everything goes to crap. It's your biggest nerve in your body, from your brain all the way down into everything that's on, you know, sympathetic, parasympathetic. It's all, you can screw yourself real fast with one bad feeling at the beginning of the day, for sure. Anyways, and we can talk more about that. And I recently actually just stumbled on somebody who, if someday we could have her on the podcast, my mind would be blown. I'm trying to think of her last name. It's like Dr. Monique. And she is all about chiropractor and central nervous system training, and pretty phenomenal. But all of this ties together because, as you know, Berg, like when you were trying to teach breath in your yoga classes and everything else, like it is not mutually exclusive in any way at all. So, yeah. Do you have any other, like, so I talked about our spices and just getting everything out of the kitchen, like easy things like that, or the kitchen, or, you know, people say, I don't want to go shopping for stuff because I've got no place to put new food. Then it's like, into the pantry, what are you actually eating? Get it out. And if you can, if it hasn't been opened, go donate it if it's still good. Like, don't feel guilty that you bought it. You can pass that good energy along to somebody else and then reinvest in yourself and the stuff that you can get. So like pantry, you had said like, you're thrilled you have a pantry. But yeah, it may be a double-edged sword, but we'll talk about that in the future.
Well, but I mean, it takes away the stress of like, because Clint's whole thing is like, just buy two of something that you use all the time. Like, buy, we drink coffee like it's going out of style. Okay. So we have plenty of coffee. We will always have an extra thing in the house. And so when we go to Costco, we're always buying an extra thing. And that makes a difference. The one big thing, and this came up this week because Clint's daughter just started a new job and I'm not real sure that she's eating lunch. And she works at DQ and I'm like, I don't want her eating DQ on her lunch break. So my question is, how do you make lunch?
That's Dairy Queen for those that don't know what that is. Dairy Queen. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. So like, how do you, I think a lot of times people either throw together really crappy stuff that isn't going to really sustain them during lunch, but also just like, what's quick and easy and something that you can put in a little lunch bag, these little bento boxes. So like got one at, so the grocery store here is Albertsons, but like opens up. And then there's another container and then there, like all these little containers for lunch. And then, and truly, like, if you think about it, cause openly admit I have a food insecurity and I don't know where it comes from. But so like, I look at these bento boxes and I'm like, how can that possibly be enough to sustain me through the day? But then if you think about it, like, well, that is much larger than my stomach. And so if I were to eat all of that at lunch, and that is certainly enough to feed me, but like being able to like put some like hard boiled eggs and some cheese slices and some, and so my thing, honestly, so in making lunches, and this actually started when, a couple years ago when you were officially still my doctor, because I was still in Ohio in Columbus, and you're talking to me about my diet. Like, so I started thinking about, okay, what am I eating throughout the day? but how can I make this easy? Because I'm not going to make myself a lunch. So what I did was I, at the grocery store in the produce section, and around, so I always shop the outsides, but I'm buying things that are individual and hand holdable. So mushrooms, here's a pro tip. So I love shiitake mushrooms. They are worth the extra dollars because they can sit in my refrigerator longer. They don't get slimy.
So no kidding.
So the cute that little buttons. Act. Yeah. So the little buttons or whatever, like those things get slimy and then I'm not going to eat them. And now I'm throwing out mushrooms. So I got shiitake. Those things are great. They last much longer. And they're fun to eat. Yeah. And I like the taste of them.
Yeah, you did this to yourself. You know the other mushroom hack though, right?
No.
How do you keep mushrooms longer shelf life in the fridge?
Is this a joke?
No, this is for real. This is a good hack because this is, people are like, I don't like mushrooms because they always go bad on me. You, as soon as you open them, if you've only used a couple of mushrooms, for example, and or you've had them for longer, I don't say longer than you should, but like they've sat in there, you're starting to question. They haven't gone bad yet. Let's be clear here. Put them in a brown paper bag and roll them up.
I knew you were going to say
and
that.
They love it.
That's the answer for everything.
They really do. It's no, what? That's harsh. No, but that's a real thing. Like that fungus loves that brown paper bag in the dark and it keeps the moisture content just right for them. And they do. They and they're not squished in that tight little styrofoam thing. Anyways, another little quick hack there. Okay. So
yeah. And so that's the thing. So like I bought all these little like handheld food things and then I just, as you said, I sort of like Tetris them into my bento box. It's plenty of food for me. And I make sure that I've got a section for my walnuts and my cashews. I sort of keep away the dries and the wets. So my olives are in one, my almonds and things are in another, hard boiled eggs, slices of cheese, veggies, the little handheld, you know, sort of like cut my celery up. Other thing. Yeah. So I love carrots. And for the longest time, I'm like, well, but I like the long, big ones, the Bugs Bunny carrots and all that jazz. But I'm not taking the time to cut them and all that stuff to pre-cut them. You suck it up and you just buy the baby carrots. And I have to get over the fact that they're called babies. They've lived their life. This is what they're for. It's like baby spinach. That breaks my heart too, but it'll be okay.
Oh, Berg, you've grown so much. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, my God. But yeah, so making lunch, I think, is a big deal because that's important. I get hangry.
It is.
You know, and so making sure that, and if I just have food near me, it's like my comfort food, like my blankie.
Yeah, no, and this is a big thing as we talk more of like about intermittent fasting and being able to break somebody's body into that and people making food adjustments according to really what their body responds to, like all of these things. It's not just, and you've been working on this for years. It's not one of those simple things of like, we're not saying, oh, whatever you want to eat, throw it in a bento box and you're doing great. But on some level, let's be really kind here and say, well, as you're trying to figure out what you're supposed to do and you're not used to even taking your own lunch or packing, if you have to work night shift or otherwise, fine. Start packing what you'll eat right now. So at least you're in the habit of what you pack, you eat. And that will be an easier habit transition later down the line. And people don't think about that. Everybody thinks like it's like this stalwart. Here's a wall. And now you're going to do this. You're going to do this. And you're going to do this. And that's not how we, you know, the book, The Power of Habit, that's not how you make good progress. And with health, it's all about these little micro steps. I mean, I'm going to say, I'm hoping that with our podcast, we're going to be pushing people past micro steps because some people can stay on the micro step forever. Mm-hmm. But you got to find, again, grease the wheel, stop these, wherever your blockage is, identify it and figure out what the problem is. Like if you don't feel good about something, in my opinion, with my small little bird brain, that means I need to identify what that is. And even right now, this is not what this is about, but even relationships, like if I have a bad incident with somebody or something else like that, my subconscious, instead of me just having a impulsive response to things at this point, I don't want to say meditate on it because I'm not actively doing anything, but my subconscious is chewing on it and I'm allowing it to. And then eventually I come to this place where I'm like, ah, I understand what my conflict was, or what it was about this that bothered me so much worse. Well, each of these little things in our day-to-day life are no different than that. There's something that's aggravating us about. It's not just, I don't want to cook or I don't like cooking. What is that? And it does. It takes work. It takes work to go through and identify and be like, or if you, I don't know, you grew up with your parents and cooking with them or being forced to, whatever. Like if there is an emotional thing, a history of why you hate cooking, that needs to be worked through too, because it's not fair to you that you don't get to actually enjoy this, because eventually it does become enjoyable. Yeah. Thoughts?
Related to the partner thing or relationship things, you made me think of it a couple minutes ago when you were talking about like the pile of shoes outside the door. So some of this does come down to also learning how to communicate, because making even these micro changes. So one thing, like if the person or people that you live with are doing something that's making you insane, that's really stressing you out, 100% got to figure out how to communicate that to people, because you're all living together. And if something that they're doing is making you nuts, that's not fair. And they, maybe they don't even know that they're doing it. So we got to figure out how to tell them, like, it makes me crazy that you can't just put your dishes directly in the dishwasher when you're done, or
just
wipe off the counter when you're done.
Oh,
you know,
two things I think you just identified for friction for people. Honestly, same thing. Nobody wants to dirty the sink, or nobody wants to deal with the sink. So those little micro habits, you do something, you rinse it, you stick it in the sink. I mean, in the dishwasher, you don't let it pile up lovingly. Yeah. I still have this slight conflict with my partner about this, but that's okay. It's not really a conflict. I just take care of it, because the truth is, look, there's other things she does to make my life easier, 100%. And this is a little thing that, if I stopped doing this, I think it would drive her nuts and she would actually start doing it, but it's not a big deal. I'm happy to do it. But it does. It makes our quality of life better. And it's like one of those things, like at dinner, like sometimes there will be, I don't know, we both keep longer hours doing stuff in our home office, for better or for worse, but just being honest, just like other human beings. And so sometimes we'll eat dinner later. And then sometimes it's like the temptation is to not do the dishes. Any of the dishes or the pots or whatever, or do some of them, or, oh, just leave the things that you need to hand wash till the morning. And that's usually Chris's nice way of saying, it's okay, I don't care. Also, please don't make me do it. But the truth is, if we don't start our morning, I mean, this is what people need to think about. How you start your day doesn't just impact your day. It impacts your week. It impacts your weekend. Because like all of this are like little microaggressions that like build up in our subconscious of things that frustrate us, you know? And so I will always say, no, I'm going to do that, because it's important to start our morning with clean kitchen. Like that's how we start our day. That. You walk into the kitchen and it's clean. It's a fresh slate. There's nothing that is a trigger from thinking about the day before. It is just a nice way to start the day. And, you know, it's these little things. Like I realize like you do not have any small children in your life right now. Neither do we. And so I do realize that there's a different specialness to this with different dynamics of different family sizes, et cetera. But honestly, the principles, I think, outlast the quantities of people or the ages of people. So, you know, the sooner you can get your kids trained to stick it in the dishwasher, and I mean that, it doesn't have to be perfect in the right place, but just have them put it in there and you can rearrange it later. I think that that's a good hack, you know?
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be a painful thing. It's just like, that's the normal thing. It's not the normal thing to leave it somewhere. You make that the normal. Doesn't mean this is like necessarily, and I'm being sensitive. I mean to be sensitive when I say this about people that have like OCD or otherwise, that this is a thing that must happen. I'm not speaking to that. I'm just saying these little micro habits, how you start your day. So it's like, you know, and part of my patient PDF that I shared with you, Berg, of trying to help people think about this, it's like I created, and I'm not the first, and I'll never be the last, but I don't want people having to flim-flam around and try to find something, but I do want people to be intentional about thinking about how they start their day and how they end their day. And I would love to say that I, you know, that's so nice of you, Dr. Bartlett, that you came with this. No, actually, Chris implemented this into my life, my wife, and it is important. She is very stalwart about it and writing this down. And I don't necessarily write it, being full disclosure, but I do. I reflect on it. And I, you know, maybe part of this actually is step one is just reflecting. Maybe that's step one to all of this, you know, is what is relevant to you, to things that you like. You know, if you could, I've always thought that these exercises and creating your ideal day or your ideal life were kind of BS, but actually, no, there's a lot to that. Yep. And so like, you know, I don't know if it's better to go micro than macro or macro than micro, as far as like, what's your ideal life and then work backwards. Or I think it works differently in different ways and however it resonates with somebody, but at least get you thinking about what is it you want?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we're focused on the health part because it doesn't matter if you have like $1 million and you don't have your health. That's total little crap, you know, and a lot of people have been deceived into thinking that, oh, that's good. You know, now you're 65, you retire and you're totally physically unable to enjoy anything. You know, hopefully you're enjoying things earlier in life too. That's a whole nother discussion, but, you know, what do you want? Do you want to have a frustration every time you go into the kitchen? Maybe that's how you look at it. You know, do you want that? Do you want to be frustrated every time you have to do laundry or you have to go buy new underwear? Or you're so angry that you have to go into this space that you're just going to buy thousands of underwear? I don't know.
You know what, though?
There are those people.
Yeah, actually, I think that that's a valid question because I know plenty of people who they thrive on conflict and that sort of like martyrdom. And like if they 100%. Didn't have, you know, somebody or something to complain about, then, well, I mean,
they're incomplete.
They know the answer. Yeah. Right. But then they'd also have to like face themselves.
Guess what? I've been on this journey myself. I would love to act like I have not, but this is a normal journey. And I think people need to be honest about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that being able to acknowledge what you truly want is crucial. And so I'm going to throw this out there. And again, thank you for this one. This book 100% changed my life. I am here right now because of Jen Sincero. You are a badass. And so
same. I read through this. Someday we got to get Jen on here, man.
Oh my God.
100%.
This book, like, not only when I first started reading the book, I'm like, oh yeah, this is my person because she's talking about Star Wars. She's got, arguably, she has a dirtier mouth than mine, which is great. She dropped the F-bomb right off the bat. I'm like, this is my chick. But so whole book, like, I think it's definitely worth a read. If you are ready in your life to make a lifestyle change, read this book. If you're not ready for that, still read the book. But I mean, so I gave my book to somebody and I don't think she was ready for a lifestyle change because she's like, that was great. But the two things in that book
Pause for one second. But you can't change things unless you know that you want things differently, right? Like if you say go change, you're 100% right. But also this is what we're trying to get at, which is start identifying what you want because the next thing is to take action. And it doesn't have to be big action. I think that's what I'm trying to parlay here is these little micro steps get you one step further. It's like that idea of if you get better 1%, do something 1% better every day in a year. I can't even remember what the percentage is of like how astronomical that change is. And yet if you do nothing and or you continue to do this something that's bad, you get, not great interest rates there.
Yeah.
But like, anyways, so I hear you. So it is absolutely possible that it is shocking because I love that book too, that somebody could read or listen to that book and then not make a change. But it's absolutely possible if you don't know what you want.
Right. Here's the thing. So you made the comment about, you know, it's a micro or is it a macro change? For me in my life, it had to be macro. And I knew it. So the two things that I took from her book that directly spoke to me was number one, give yourself great sex. That was pointed directly to my relationship at the time. And so that was number one. And the fact that a woman was writing a book and she regularly talked about sex in this book. And I'm like, oh my God. So there are people that are having great sex and I am not having any.
Yeah.
And then number two, she said, if you had all the money in the world, if money was not an option, what would you do? I would go back to school. And so those two things put together and I sort of, and so what I did was that night I'm laying in bed and I said, I rolled to my boy, rolled over to my boyfriend at the time. I'm like, honey, I'm going to go back to school. And so then I signed up the next day. I got onto the, website for, what is it? The Columbus Community College. The name of the school is falling out of my head. But anyway, I registered and then I signed up to be a massage therapist, so taking massage therapy classes. And then, so that was step one. And because for so long I had been in my mind, so I was the breadwinner in the family. And I, in my mind, I was holding this lump of money in my head for him to go to school, to go back to school. And I'm like, well, he's not going to, and he should do it on his own dime anyway. So I, that money now was allocated to me in my mind. I went back to school and today I am a massage therapist and I have been for a year now here in Montana. And then
Ooh, congrats.
Thank you.
I mean, I knew that, but I just want to, everybody, hold on a second. Let's do a little something fun here.
I can't hear cheering.
Well, I'm cheering for you.
Thank you.
Hopefully I'm getting some cheering music for you. And if not,
thank you.
I'm hoping I can edit this out. Oh my goodness. Okay. Continue. That was going to be good cheering.
And then the other thing that was a huge sticking point for me was my relationship. And so within a month or two, I ended my relationship. I said, I came home from the studio, from my yoga studio. And I said, I am not happy and I can't do this anymore. And he and I are still really great friends. We text and we talk regularly still. And what I found was he was rolled up in the relationship so much. He didn't know who he was anymore. This is a 16-year relationship. And I had been like limiting myself in so many ways. And now we are better. And like, he's a better version of himself. And I am a better version of myself. Yes, there are lots of things that I miss about our relationship, but I mean, we've both grown because of it. And I, for the longest time, I was afraid to end the relationship because I didn't know how he would move on. It wasn't even about me. It was, I was afraid of ending the relationship because I didn't know what he would do. And there are a lot of people that are like that. So
boom. Anyway, well, here we go. I'll say we can bring in Jen Sincero one more time. You are a badass because she talks about, I'll bring this back into the health and the cooking thing. Basically, we identify and self-label ourselves based off of what we are told we are. And that is not truth. That is somebody's opinion of us. That's not truth. It's the same thing. If somebody said to you growing up, you're, I don't know, little kid. I mean, these little things get etched into our brains when we're super little, that little neurofeedback, our little limbic system there of these little micro traumas. And then we file it away because we never want to feel that way. So then we avoid these things in the future. But it's like Jen Sincero said, if somebody said, oh, you're a bad cook or you have a partner, God, I hope not, or an ex-partner who said, you're not a good cook. Why do you even try? Like, that's not fair. That's not you. That's not who you are. You don't have to identify that way. Yep. You know, same thing. You're not good at sex. You're just terrible at it. Well, that's their opinion. And or get somebody new, you know, whatever it is. But like all of these things, we have to start figuring out on a 50,000 square foot view of what, I don't want to say what makes us tick because that sounds way too big, but on some level, these are all little microaggressions, little frustrations that play out every day. And sometimes it is just that little, as I just crossed my arms in my defensive pose, just thinking about this right now, so did you, but it's like, when we can actually start replaying something crappy that somebody said to us that sends us down, whether it's hopelessness, despair, frustration, anger, and in fact, putting up a wall saying, I'm not going to change because XYZ. So it's, we have so many topics. We're going to go so deep on all this stuff in the future, but it's like, are we talking about growth? No, it's not just growth. Is it mindset? No, it's not just mindset. I think you're right. And it's the identification of what do you want? Mm-hmm. Because then you start listening to all of these little things and you're like, oh, I don't want to listen to that anymore. That little thing in my head or that person, like, no thanks, peace out. Or, I'm not a good cook, but I'm willing to learn. You know, like, I'm willing to experiment. Forget the word learn. I mean, I feel like Chris has become an amazing chef through experimenting, not learning. Like, and she's figured out hacks and all this because of a willingness to experiment. Yep. But like this, there's no way that everything that we've talked about does not impact our health, whether we're talking about mental health, emotional health, mm-hmm. Spiritual health, physical health, everything. Everything we've talked about impacts it. That daily little struggle builds up in us. Builds up in our nervous system.
Oh my God. And just the cortisol from stress, just the stress of the thing. And you may not realize how much stress actually something puts in your body until you fix it, until you change it. I mean, I remember the day after my ex and I broke up, he moved into his sister's house that night. The next morning, going back to the kitchen thing, the next morning I had cleaned the kitchen that night. Oh my God. It was still clean in the morning when I got up. And then I'm like, I was happy to clean the house because it was my dirt. And like just the stress of like resentment that had built up in my body and all of that. Like, and then that is a major change, like ending a relationship, but still like that was the thing that was the thing I needed to get out of the way in order for me to grow. And
yeah,
it was huge.
These microaggressions, tiny little blocks that get in the way every mm-hmm. day, like 100%. You don't like your hangers. You don't like hanging up your clothes, get new hangers. Like the thing is, it's like, well, that's just silly. That's just a little thing. No, because you add up all of these things and this is actually what the stressors are. Like this is a big chunk. You think it's about this thing at your work because that's like the most pressing thing or whatever. But it's actually when you're looking at, you've got 24 hours in a day and you're at work, depending on how everybody's kind of fluctuating. But let's just say go back to the old days of like 8 hours a day, 7 hours a day, you know, hour lunch break, whatever. But like that is still only a third of the day, you know, that if you go to bed frustrated, you wake up frustrated. You probably didn't get good sleep. You're already waking up resentful. Like, and there's a different thing, and we're going to have to go into this more in the future too, about the microaggressions in relationships as far as resentment.
Yep.
And being able to name it and be like, I'm sorry, I'm being passive aggressive right now because you did this thing. And guess what? The person didn't even realize that this was a thing. And it is so easy to fix, but it's like, and also you had to name it.
Yep.
You had to put your words, put your big boy, big girl, big they britches on and own it and say it and communicate it. Because if you don't, it doesn't stop. And there's a chance that may not fix it. And that person may get defensive and all this. And guess what? That's more stuff that they need to work on. That's not on you. You've tried. That's a big thing. I mean, and so, we will talk about this more. And we're about 43 minutes in, Berg. We've been doing good. I think this is fascinating, but Lord knows if our listeners and viewers will think so too. But I think this is great because I think this touches on all of these things again, impact health. There's no way that they cannot. No way.
Mm-mm. No, because your health is everything. But your health is everything. Like, it's all the things around you are impacting your health. And your health is the most important thing. Like my, you know, my motto for my studio and for my students is you can't pour water from an empty pitcher. You are a useless caregiver if you are not taking care of yourself first. That is not selfish. You must 100%. Take care of yourself first in order to be able to do anything for anybody else. 100%.
And I think, sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, go.
Well, I was just going to say, and like, so building on the things that we're going to talk about many things, of course, but like when we're looking at actual health related scientific breakthrough stuff, things biohacking that people can do. I mean, I think this literally could be the most important podcast to listen to because it removes the concept of if I just do this one thing, I'll feel better. Right. So if all of this stuff is going on, and then they try intermittent fasting, that's not going to fix things. It's not going to fix cortisol level. You know, it's not going to fix for some people who may have some food addiction things and all these other microaggressions and stress that build up and sabotaging their experience with intermittent fasting. Like biohacking is the steps that need to happen once people know where they're going. That's the best way I can put it because I really don't want anybody having failure or feeling deceived in the things that we talk about, or somebody tries some of the methods that we talk about and they don't feel like they're having success or their labs aren't moving or they're not feeling better, et cetera. Like I think the relevancy 100% is what's happening in your life is part of your health and you can't take this one thing and expect this one thing to fix everything. And I'm sorry if there are practitioners out there in any space who are selling something like that, because that is not truth. That's not truth. And that's not wisdom. And that sets people up for failure. And so understand, like, if you can start kind of holistically in my mind, looking at your life and what you want and where you're trying to get, part of where you're trying to get, hopefully you'll glean and maybe change your mind about is also health, that it's not the last thing on the list that you take on. In fact, once you know where you're going, hopefully it's one of the first things you take on, because when you're feeling better, you're capable of taking on all these other things in a more clarified, mental clarity, energetic way. Because, you know, going through all this stuff, family stuff, emotional stuff, historical stuff, work stress, all this, taking it on, being productive, being creative, being emotional, all of this takes energy. And if you don't have the bandwidth for your body to go through these things and to process things as you should, not likely to be a great success story, unfortunately. I mean, for those that do, I'm rooting for you. But we have to really address this. And so, like, you know, when you go to most doctor's visits, you know, we have you do some check boxes here or there historically, let's just say that. But you know, it's like, oh, well, I'm stressed. My relationship isn't good. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Hope it works out. Well, now we're going to talk about these things. And I realize because as physicians, we are not trained to be psychiatrists or we are sub-trained to be psychiatrists, but psychologists. Okay. Let's put it in that space. But this is what people need to be understanding, because I think that this is the disconnect between health and life.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree. So I think one of the big things then again is having, I don't want to say the buddy system, but so if you want to, if you've got a great relationship and you've got people in your life, it's always important to have a good support system for whatever the thing is. You know, you've got a running team and you've got climbing buddies and you've got, you know, book club people and all that. And then you've got your romantic relationships and so forth. When whoever you're living with, also, if you're going to make some changes in your diet, if you're going to make changes in your lifestyle, talk to them about it. Be like, look, I talked to Clint about this. I was like, look, I'm getting these resistance bands. You can try them on if you like. I'm going to do this. You know, and I told him, I was like, you know, I'm going to go back to, you know, doing this diet, and making sure that I'm eating the right stuff that makes me feel good. And I'm not going to eat rice anymore because I've tried that.
What's Dr. Bartlett's least favorite word?
Oh my God. Which thing? Diet?
Diet. I'm going to try this nutrition.
Nutrition. Yes.
I know. I just really hate the word diet. I know. I'm not putting that on you, but I'm just going to clarify that for everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that out there for everybody because I can't stand the word diet. I want people having nutrition. And that I know exactly is what you're going for, but I just want to clarify in the future. Don't be turned off to our podcast because she used that word, because we are not about dieting. We are about nutrition. Shame on you, Burke. No, I'm just kidding. Keep going.
Yeah. No. And like, and that's the thing is like, I'm not my whole thing. Freaking Christ. I'm a runner. I mean, I am completely active. There's no way I'm going to limit my food intake. So, you know, my whole goal is to figure out like, God, how much food can I eat and what food can I eat and all this jazz? Yeah, no. So, but you know, I talked to Clint and I'm like, look, this is what I'm doing. And he's like, great. I'm going to be supportive of this. I'm not going to do the same diet nutritional menu as you.
Right. And guess what? Because does that make sense?
Fine.
Yes, two separate sets of genetics.
Yeah,
great. So, I'm tying in here real quick, just because there are partners, and just because they start doing something together, one gets a result and the other doesn't, and then they say, "Well, I don't understand. We're both doing the same thing." Two different sets of genetics. We've got to remember that for most people, unless there's something interesting going on. Two different sets of genetics. So he said, I'm going to do me. You're going to do you. I'm going to respect it. I'm not going to shame you. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to guilt you.
Right.
What a good partner and should do.
Yes, exactly. And he's just supportive as far as like, okay, so we're going to have, you know, for dinner tonight, we're going to have some stuff that Berg wants to eat. We're going to have some stuff that we usually eat. If you guys want to eat some of the stuff that Berg's going to eat, there we go. You know, and
awesome.
That's sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. The other thing,
and I think that's the thing is that they're also like, I think you actually just said something beautiful that people's mindsets never go to, which is when we're talking about food and food prep, that food, not everybody has to eat everything that's out.
Oh my gosh. No.
Mm-mm. Right. So like there can be a crossover of, we can all mutually eat this. And because people get this mindset where, oh my God, that means I'm preparing two or three different meals, like either whether I've got picky kids or my husband and wife are doing different things, or the partners are doing different things, like whatever it is, right? Like the mindset immediately goes to more work. And again, we're going to talk more as we can about how do we do less work and get the same outcomes, hopefully. Like stop mentally jinxing yourself that it has to be hard.
Yeah. You know? I'm just going to not eat the rice so that everybody else is eating. I mean, there's no extra work. There's actually less effort. I'm not going to put it on my plate.
Right.
You know, so, you know, maybe I'll put greens underneath my stuff, underneath my chicken instead of the rice. Problem 100%. Solved. You know,
it's all these little things that move towards success for people. And the acknowledgement of not just doing the good things, but realizing what's getting in the way. So going back to what we talked to in the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes of this, what are the things that are your blocks? Start with your closet. When you wake up, what's the first frustration you notice? Start with that one thing. What's the first thing that frustrates you in that day? And start working towards a solution and give yourself a timeline, a deadline, not just a timeline. You know, it's like the saying in business, if you give yourself 30 days to do something, it'll take 30 days. If you give yourself 6 hours, you'll get it done in 6 hours.
That's true.
You will stretch it out as long as you're able. So, you know, most people probably can find a solution to something within 24 hours, you know, and execute it. Not just say, I'll find this thing on Amazon and this will do it. No, no. You buy it or you find it and it's there and you've executed it. That's what we're going to talk about when we talk about success, is that execution. In my definition, experience, let me put it that way. Well, Berg, I mean, I think we did a good job. I think we talked.
Yeah.
I think hopefully people will get the vibe of what we are trying to accomplish here.
Yeah.
And getting people to think about health, longevity. All of these things, life frustration, food frustration, psychological frustration. Like there's a lot of mind bending that's going to be happening hopefully by us chatting, because I think this needs to be out there, and it's not, I'm hopeful in the future we'll have some awesome kick-ass, trying to watch my language here, guests in the future. But I think there's a lot of value to be gleaned from honestly, friendship, and experience and vulnerability of what we've been able to share. Experience our two different health backgrounds, how we look at things. I mean, I came from a very science base. You came, I think, don't take this the wrong way because you are a Star Trek gal, more from the energy space. And now, interestingly, I think we've met in the middle in how we think about this stuff. And I think that that's important. I think that's powerful.
Yep.
So, well, until next time, Berg, signing off. We're going to have to come up with some good signing off things eventually. But until next, Metabolab. Talk to you then, Berg.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Metabolab, Your Biohack, with Dr. Heather Bartlett. If you wouldn't mind, please hit the like button so we can share more content with similar-minded biohacking folks. And as always, please feel free to share on your social channels if you found value in today's podcast. If you're interested in working with Dr. Bartlett, please feel free to learn more at www.metabolab.clinic. Again, that's www.metabolab.clinic.
Disclaimer, the previous podcast and content are not medical advice. Always seek counsel with your own private clinician before starting any new health-impacting life changes.